Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. We have no agenda other than yours. We thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, for your presence. We glorify your name. Jesus, we know that because your word says it, that everything we ask, you're faithful to perform. Lord, I thank you for the healings that have already taken place in this room today and outside of this room for those that stood in for somebody. Oh, we glorify your name for those, God. Oh, Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak today, for this is your service. This is the day you made. We get to rejoice and be glad in it. I step aside, God, and ask you to step in. Be real to us today. Holy Spirit, flood every square inch of this place down to our kids' ministry for the presence of God. Oh, for the presence of God to be so tangible. We thank you, God. Amen. Today, go ahead and be seated. A little bit of a different day. And my computer literally broke today, so all my notes are right here. So I normally I like to be pretty good at putting stuff on the screen for you. And you know, you're just going to have to go old school today and get your Bible. And so if you didn't, I mean, bummer. Yeah, this is mine. There's things in here, as you can tell. I'm organized in a lot of areas. My Bible is not necessarily one of them. I'm just like, that's great, mark it. So if you ever looked at my Bible, you'd be like, is this how you are in real life? And the answer is no. But I think a messy Bible means there's not such a messy life. I look at a clean Bible and I'm like, is this thing open? This thing been read? So if your Bible looks a little disheveled like mine, in my opinion, that's a good sign. Amen? I'm going to read to you from this book that Jim Hockaday gave me. I'm going to read to you two things in it. The first, something that has radically changed the way that I pray. And for those of you that came forward, I worked with you in this. So this will confirm some things for you, and it will also, if you didn't come up and you're like, ah, I missed it. No, you didn't, baby. You didn't miss a thing. Holy Spirit's still here. Amen? So I'm going to read this to you, and would you just open your heart to maybe think of something a different way? Because if you were raised in church, sometimes religion has a way of getting in there. And Jesus had nothing to do with that. And I want what he had. And that's what he says I can have. So if he says I can have it, then I'm going to have it. Amen? Okay. In this book, which maybe I should tell you what it is before I read it to you. It's Biblical Secrets of a Supernatural Life by Bruce D. Allen. And this is the first of his books I've ever read. And Jim told me, he's like, this is what you did when you got healed and you didn't know it. I was like, now I'm reading it, I'm going, aha, correct. You are correct, sir. So I'm going to read to you on page 193, and I encourage you, if you haven't got this book, get it. Go through it with me. Let's learn together. It says, two basic Greek words deal with the word mind. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The Greek word for heart is dianoia. Interesting. The New Dictionary of Theology says that when the Greek word dianoia is used in relation to the heart, it always means, catch this, imagination. The dictionary says that dianoia is the faculty renewed by the Holy Spirit, called the imagination. Therefore, Matthew 22:37 is saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your imagination. You love God with your imagination by properly framing pictures of the kingdom in your imagination. For instance, when I pray, I choose to see Jesus. This is becoming easier because I can see him now and have practiced doing so. When you pray, when you worship and are in the word, you focus on him and see Jesus. That's loving God. I'm an avid reader and I've read thousands of books in my lifetime. As a kid, I loved science fictions. When you read a book, your imagination turns on and you see what's happening. Anybody been there? That's part of the reason people like books is because your imagination goes. He says, likewise, when you read the Bible, you're picturing it as you read. If you have the opportunity to travel to Israel, you can picture the Bible as it comes alive. Anybody been to Israel? Yeah, you can. Is that true? You can picture it as you're there. It says, enjoying your imagination is loving God. When you read about the road in the Bible, for example, you shouldn't just read it in third person as a story. When I read a passage, I see myself walking there. He said, my name is Bruce, and it means called of God. As I see Jesus approach, I start talking to him, and I start worshiping him. God, you may fall on your face in the natural, but you see yourself at his feet in the spiritual. As you focus on Jesus and practice the sanctified imagination, activation takes place and will take you to the destination. Now, I'm almost done, but stay with me. In Luke 1:29, the second Greek word for mind is used. When Gabriel came to Mary, she was troubled at him saying, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The word pondering in the Greek word, this is a long word, but I'm going to pronounce it so that you can maybe spell it. It's dialogismo. That's not how you pronounce it in real life, but that's how you spell it. It doesn't make sense. Anyways, neither here nor there. And it means the logical reasoning of mind. Some have said, stop using your logic and reason and just go by the Spirit. God gave you a mind to use, but there's a proper protocol. You must sanctify it. I again emphasize what our stand should be. Father, all that I am, all that I ever hope to be, I submit to you. I submit my logical reasoning mind, my imagination, all my success, all my failures. You sanctify your imagination by the blood of Jesus and offer it as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. The Lord most often speaks in thoughts and impressions and through the still small voice in your heart. The problem is that because we're so undisciplined and haven't harnessed these gifts, we often don't recognize when God speaks. Most people think they're hearing themselves. I laugh and say, you're not that smart. It does, however, take time and practice to learn to discern the difference. You have dianoia, the imagination, sanctified, and dialogismo, there it is, the logical reasoning mind. Paul used the logical reasoning mind frequently. Acts 18:4 says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. That's good for Paul as a Pharisee who knew his stuff, but most of us aren't there. However, God gives you wisdom if you lack wisdom. You sanctify your imagination by the blood of Jesus and offer it as a living sacrifice. We think in pictures. And I've always known that. But you experience miracles in pictures. Which means whatever you need, this is the playground. This is why the enemy uses it and wants you to start envisioning all the ways it will go wrong, all the ways it won't work, or all the ways it hasn't worked in the past. Why do you think he comes against your mind like that? Because he knows it's where your miracle begins. And that's why the Bible says to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Smith Wigglesworth had, he wore this long trench coat a lot. And one of the reasons he liked wearing it, he said, is because he kept in one pocket the Old Testament and the other one the New Testament. He could fit one in each pocket, so he was known for wearing this coat. And he said he wouldn't go 30 minutes without pulling one out to renew his mind. Now, that's a powerful thought. But that is how significant our imagination is, which means most people are living the way they imagine it. Now, that can be good news and bad news. But the good news is you can switch from one to the other right now. Maybe you've been envisioning all of the ways that you've been bound, or you've been envisioning all of the ways it hasn't worked, or what you've done, or everything that the doctor said. Have you ever been in a doctor's office and they paint this picture, and by the time you walk out, you're like, what? Where's the sky? Where's the ground? Is this thing real? What on earth? And they've got this thing that you didn't even walk into the room with now playing in your head. And 99% of the time, it's what happens if you grab hold of it and you start thinking it. What would happen to you if you imagined yourself as Jesus Christ? That you are him with skin on. Would you walk in a room differently? Jesus said he speaks things that are not as though they are. How? Because he sees it before it is. Remember when Bob Buse was here and he said you have to see it to believe it to see it? Well, he was really on to something there. You got to see it here to believe it here to see it. Our imagination is a huge deal, or the enemy would not try to get you to imagine. Have you ever just started thinking, and by the time you look over, you're like, where did I go? How did I get here? Just me? Just me this week? You're like, how did this happen? I'm over here, and I'm all Twitter-pated about this, I was fine this morning. Last year when I was in my room, I had had stories from John G. Lake and Lester Summerall and Oral Roberts. They had all been incredibly sick at a point, and they all had this moment where they were in their rooms by themselves and they tossed themselves out of bed and they crawled. And I thought, I'm in bed. A sick bed, which I want a new bed, by the way. I hate that bed because I have spent too much time in it, and I would just like to put it on fire, just like light it on fire. So a new bed is coming to me. I have it picked out. I visualized it. I picked it. I know how much it costs, and I know all the linens and crap I need on it, all right? But I hate the bed that I have because it's been a sick bed. But I kept thinking of stories I've heard all growing up where they just tossed themselves out of bed. And I thought, I don't know what else to do. Doctors say you're probably not going to make it. I have a little boy who I can't even hold, and it has to is being babysat, and I'm not even getting to be the mom that I was told I would get to be. And I'm in this bed in the dark, and I hate it here. And all I could measure up in my imagination was those stories, and I kept just picturing they just threw themselves on the floor and they crawled and they got their healing. I didn't care how that happened. So what did I do? I threw myself out of bed and I crawled. That's how I imagined it. But imagine if I had imagined myself just stepping out of bed. I could have done that too. How do you see it? How do you see it? When you get out of bed in the morning, how do you see it? When you walk into your job, how do you see it? When you walk into a doctor's office, how do you see it? When you get a call or a bill, how do you see it? Because how you see it is the reality you'll walk in. What I mean is, if you see yourself afraid of the dark, if you see yourself afraid of nothing, what is, in the Message translation, Psalms 91, which is my favorite all-time chapter in the whole Bible, I have it in my living room, and we speak it over ourselves every day. We don't go to bed without saying Psalms 91. And it says, I fear nothing. Nothing. Now, I'm gonna be so transparent with you. I have dealt with fear in my past, like, heavily. And there are still moments where that little sucker will come and just, hey, hey. Sometimes, heavy, if you've ever felt that, you know the feeling. It's heavy. And in a moment of rejoicing, Merritt Weiss taught me this. The enemy cannot exist in a spirit of rejoicing. Now, the moment of moving from fear to rejoicing is going to be a moment of your will to do it. Because it's the opposite of what you want to do, baby. You want to lay in bed, pull the covers over, and say, well, today, it's not happening. We're not doing life today. Count me out. I'm on vacation. And in the moments when you don't want to is the moments, oh, baby, you have to. Your life depends on it. Your kids depend on it. I was having such a hard time with that this week, and I got up, and we do praise and worship in the morning, and I thought, man, I would love to just not right now. I'm not in the mood. In fact, I felt sick to my stomach. I just was like, I felt like I was wrestling. I text Joyce this. She was praying for me. I text my mom that she was praying for me. And all of a sudden, I look over at my son. This has happened to me many times, and sometimes God has to tell you things just many times, at least me, sometimes. It's just like, get it. And thank goodness he's so patient, because sometimes he's got to just, anybody else? It's like, okay, now the 18th time, I got it. My bad. I hear you. Got it. And I looked over at my kid, and the Holy Spirit told me, you're teaching him how to handle moments like this right now. Don't fumble this. He's learning how to handle the heavy moments of life by watching how you handle this right now. Get up and worship. And man, I got up and I jumped and I danced. And about a quarter of the way through, I felt light. He was dancing. Because at first he was like, I'm not doing this. Bad attitude today. Sitting with his morning bottle. Just, I'm over there jumping like in faith. And stink face over here is just looking at me like, I'm not doing it. You can't make me. And all of a sudden, there comes this part, and he stood up a lot like that in a cute kid form and just started the bounce, the Merritt bounce. And then I started running to each side of the house. And, you know, all my windows are open, and my neighbors are close. And so they probably are like, this girl, are you okay? Yes, I'm great. I don't care if people think I'm weird. I used to really care. If you want a miracle, you can't care if people think you look silly. Do you want to be free? They're not living your life. And my son started doing it, and I just got this, it clicked. He's watching how to handle moments like this by watching me. And I'm learning how to handle moments like this by watching him. How do you see it? How do you see it? Do you see yourself always in poverty? Do you see yourself with more than enough? Do you see yourself in favor, or, well, that's just my luck? Yeah, well, if that was going to happen to anybody, it was going to happen to me. Well, I believe you. You're having exactly what you think you will have. But if you're having what you think you will have, how about think you're going to have something really great? How about thinking, I'm going to have a miracle every day? No matter where I go, I'm meeting somebody that needs a miracle. No matter where I go, I fear nothing. I fear no bad news. Proverbs says that. I do not dread or fear bad news. Why? Because news is news. It changes by the blood of Jesus. Are you with me today? It's not even in my notes, you guys. I'm going to read to you this story in here, and then we're gonna do some prayer and stuff. This is a question. I think that this is powerful. He said, "What does faith look like? What do you believe? What is your faith creating?" Faith can go either direction. You're believing something regardless of where you're at, and it's creating something. What if it could create the life you've always hoped and dreamed about? Because that is what it can do. You can live in the fullness of your inheritance as a child of God. Here's the story. This was like, whoa. He said, I share a funny testimony in many places because of the reaction I see in the crowd. While ministering in Belfast, Northern Ireland, a woman came up for prayer. I asked her, "What do you need from the Lord?" She replied, "I have a heart condition. I want a new heart. I don't want a refit heart. I want a new one." Before I could even ask her any questions, I suddenly noticed an angel come through the back door of the church carrying a platter with a beating heart. I glanced at this scene, then brought my attention back to her. Seeing me look, she looked too. Her eyes widened, then she closed them tight. "You saw him too?" I said, laughing. When the angel walked up between us, I stepped back. He looked at me, nodded, picked up the heart from the platter, then reached into her chest and placed the new heart there. As I watched him put his hand into her chest, she said, "Ah." Then the angel reached further down. Though she hadn't told me about other issues, the Lord knew what she needed. The angel made an adjustment in her, then held his hand out, looked at me, and left. "I guess we don't have to pray," I said to her. "You're healed. We're just going to agree with what we saw the Father doing." She returned home that night and threw out her heart medication. I didn't tell her to do that because there can be withdrawal symptoms when medication stops suddenly, which can be very dangerous. That evening, she cooked and ate a spicy, greasy meal that she hadn't been able to eat in years. She slept soundly. She slept soundly for the first time since her heart diagnosis 9 years earlier. When she saw her doctor a month later for her regular checkup, he said, "Wow, your heart is like the heart of a 20-year-old. What have you been doing?" She said, "Well, this angel came," and he stopped her. "Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it." She saw and she received. She saw and she received. She saw and she received. Witnessing these encounters makes ministry really exciting. Because if you can somehow challenge people not only to hope in faith, but to believe and see it by faith, 9 out of 10 times they will receive the healing. We practice this all over the world, and it's been amazing to witness. How do you see it? Do you see yourself an overcomer, being somebody that stands as the perfect love of God? Or do you see yourself who people go out of their way to be bad to? Do you see your life as just a series of unfortunate events? Or do you see your life as a king and a queen of the Son and daughter of the Most High God? That Jesus really is who he said he is. And not just him separate, he is who he said he is in you. He's not just in you and you're in him. You are him, baby. Which means when you walk somewhere, regardless of what you did, which this is a holdup for so many people, you have a hard time believing for that because you know how bad you were back then. But that person is dead and gone. They don't live any longer. When God looks at you, he sees his son. There's a part in this book which I don't think I really have time to get into. Maybe I will. Okay. But he talks about this man in Israel. He was a scientist. He came out with this function to where they could literally hook this person up to a machine, see their memories. That's crazy to me. But they could. So in a courtroom, it'd be like, well, let's watch the replay by your memory. That's unfortunate for some people if you're on the bad side of, you know. And that's really good news if you're on the good side, right? But he said, we came into a holdup here. If this person was a child of God and they started pleading the blood of Jesus, there was no memory to be found. That is who you are. That what you're remembering, it's not even found. God doesn't remember it. He's not holding it against you. It's the whole reason he sent his son. Because without that, living through memories, it's debilitating. It'll cancel your faith. It'll stop you from thinking you could have anything worth of significance or anything for that matter that's good. And it's, I'm not worthy. You're right, but he made you worthy. So you don't stand in a place of earning worthiness, you just are worthy. In the Bible, remember, there's all these beautiful women in the Bible. Jesus' mother, for instance. Yet he only says to remember one. That's wild to me. And the one he says to remember was Lot's wife, who looked back with longing at what God had brought her through. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Be so careful not to try to relive and fix your past. It's over. It is fixed. It's null and void. Shame off of you. You are the righteousness of God. Right now, I don't care what you did last night or this morning, no matter how many times you've done it, God right now in his sovereignty and his faithfulness and his goodness has made you clean. Which means if you have been screwing up royally, that's true of is the enemy. There's no fix it for him. But your past has been dealt with. So stop dealing with it. Amen. 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 Yeah. God loves you. You. I think sometimes we think that's true for everybody else around us. But us, it's like, but me? Really? Has he seen the person that wakes up in the morning? Yes, you. If it was only you, he still would have come. He dealt with it. He dealt with it. I'm going to read to you this song, and then we're going to sing it together. And I want you, when you sing this, to picture yourself here. And please hold, as I do not have this in my notes, as we're going by the seat of our pants. Is that how you say it? Yes. Seat of your pants? Pants of your seat. I'm not this funny in normal life, and I'm not right now either, for those of you wondering, but it's yeah. So we're going to sing this, but I want you to hear the words, because this is your reality. It says, in the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the loss. To redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died. This is, I really want you to catch this. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath. Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom, I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ has resurrected me. That's your reality. For when Jesus rose, you rose with him. And what he bought, he took the keys out of Satan's own kingdom. Imagine someone coming into your house, taking the keys. That's what happened. How embarrassing. I mean, imagine that. Don't think of the devil as this powerful little, no. God's power, you can't even put it on the same spectrum. And Jesus went in, defeated death, hell, and the grave in his own house and said, give me those, mine. And then he said, hey, and this woman right here, because of what I just did, she has those keys now. Good luck. Jesus handed you what he did. Not because of you, but because of him. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this song, and I want you to stand in a place where you've imagined yourself in this place. Use your imagination a little bit. Maybe you've used it for all the wrong things this week. Well, switch. 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 Don't check out. Switch. What could happen if you would just see it a little differently? What could happen if you would just see it a little differently? See, oftentimes our miracles are as easy as a shift in our focus. Let's focus in on Jesus and what he did. And when you realize what he did, it will make what's happening nothing. Whatever you're facing in life, what he did has covered it. And some of you might just get the miracle that you didn't even walk up here for today. Just at the information of what he did and worshiping and rejoicing, and the devil will flee from you. Oh, he will flee. So you lift your hands high and you sing no matter who's near you. And it's okay if you look silly. I've looked silly enough for all of us recently. So let's just join the party, okay? Stand with me. We're going to worship, and then Pastor has a word before we close. If you didn't know, I'm using that same song I just said the lyrics to. Sorry.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.